today. Inside your bulletin, you'll see that we've included a six-month snapshot of our budget. And something we haven't done in the past, but we thought would be helpful to you who are members and regular attendees here. As you look that over, you'll see different balances as of the end of June in different categories. And also that's broken down by the general fund and our missions fund. So take an opportunity to look that over a little bit later. And if you have any questions or concerns about where we're at with the budget this year, feel free to contact the church office. Also wanted to let you know that at the conclusion of the service, we will be taking a love offering for our special guests today. And I just wanted to prepare you for that time of giving. Well, it is this time that I want to introduce to you a couple that's very near and dear to my heart. Of course, we love all of our missionaries, but there's just some you love just a little bit more. This couple is one that I've had the privilege of being able to visit on the field where they have served for many, many years in the Philippines. And they're going to be giving a presentation today, and Phil will be sharing from God's Word. So I want to introduce to you Phil and Barb Klump.
We want to thank you for your support these past years, and we're glad to be here today to be able to share with you just a little update for us, and we thank you for your prayers, especially in some of my health needs and so forth. Going back... Okay, we're glad that Rex was able to come, and they put up a banner and everything about his counseling sessions that he had with some of the pastors in the fourth year. He was brave to try something new in some of the food items that they had, and also in the tricycle and bus that they had. He was a good sport in that way. So it was a blessing at the Bible school and at the local church. About 20 students that he had from the seminary for the counseling time.
The last time that we were here in SOTUS was in March of 2017. If you remember, we had our niece with us who was working with international students in Buffalo. Through that ministry, she met John, and they were married last February, and both of them are still working with international students. So. That's been exciting to see how the Lord led in her life. Through a number of reasons, particularly Phil's health, the Lord led us to retire in January, but we consider it an active retirement, and you'll see some of the ways the Lord has led in our lives.
So we were trying to get back in later part of 2018 because of health needs and other things. We were making a five-week trip to the Philippines in March and April, seeing some of our believers, deacons that were there, and getting back to our second home with various tropical fruits and vegetables that they had. In Manila, I spoke to the chapel of the Bible school seminary there. Two of our students that were from our local area are attending up in Manila area. And that particular Saturday, we had our team. We used to have 60 missionaries at one time in the 1970s and 80s, but we're down to seven. As team members. Because of a long trip, the airplane, the layovers, I just couldn't be able to go down, and we really missed out on having to speak at the graduation of the school.
Actually, we had intended to spend most of our time in Cebu City, and I'll share just a little history first, because this is exciting to see how the Lord has worked there. We actually moved to Cebu in the early 90s. We had a vision to start a church there, and we started in our home, as many churches do, with Bible studies, vacation Bible school in our house. And then after about a year, we were able to move to a hotel and later to a Chinese restaurant where we held services. And it was a little different than what we had been used to because they were professional people. But We had the church in a hotel, and then we had baptisms and swimming pools. So that was a little different. But we were excited to see as the Lord began to lead and bring people to the Lord in that work.
So we had prayer requests of a meeting place because we were just having a rental area and a Filipino pastor. We had interns and students from the seminary and the Herois who were a very experienced pastor and family came and was successor to us. And then we're able to get a property parsonage upstairs and the meeting hall downstairs. So they moved on in 2011 to a new group there in Mandawi, just the outside of the main city, and the Modinas came to be there these past 8 and 9 years.
It's very exciting because Cebu Island is a long string bean island. And we had the vision to start one church. They had a vision to start many churches up and down the island. So they began back in 2011 with that first church, but they began to start other churches and to reach out. And this is really the way the book of Acts is, right? That you start one and then they start another one. So it's been exciting to see. It was neat to return and see the church this year at 26 years. We've kept up with them and have gone back at least once a year, sometimes more than that over these past years.
So they've been having discipleship classes and reaching out to their community where they live in the city. And it was good to be back to one of our Bible studies in a home, extended family there from 1992. So this is in the sanctuary. They're looking for a bigger facilities that they could build on the property. It's very expensive in a city there. And the ladies, Barb had ladies Sunday school and VBS as a speaker for their closing program. I've been teaching the major and minor prophets, and so I had times in which we're talking about the end times and the millennium that I was having lectures and workshop. These are two of our students that graduated, and they have a half-court basketball. Basketball is their favorite, and I spoke to these young teenagers there as well.
As we mentioned, they had a burden to start other churches. And it's really neat to see. This is a picture of their prayer list type of thing. But there are now 28 fundamental Baptist churches on the island. 16 of them were started by Grace Baptist Church. And we're really excited to see what the Lord has done. It's just amazing. They're at all different levels. 4 of them are independent. And then the rest are at different levels of outreach. But it was fun to go and visit one of the outreaches, and Phil was able to preach there, and just to see how the Lord multiplies his church. I was able to give the history, and Phil preached at the first meeting of all of these churches together. And it was really fun to be able to see some of the workers that are there on the island in various parts. And as Phil mentioned, we've had a few medical challenges, more than you want to hear about, but we're thankful for the strength the Lord gives us and how he leads through that. We still have a desire to get back to the Philippines someday, but we have to wait until some of those challenges are over.
Since the fall, we were helping out with Christina when Christina was here for the panel and talking about the students at UB and so forth. It's a Tuesday night bridges, they call it. And then Chinese scholars that come 6, 9, or 12 months of the year for extra studies in their PhD or research. And so it's a great privilege there, even using the Bible as a English text to them for their audio or speaking English. their English is horrendous. They're all in the book type of thing. And then the close-knit that we have with some of the students there on the north campus there's some of their outreaches and Thanksgiving and New Year's and making dumplings and so forth. Next week or this week, we're going to have a group at our home as hosting them.
You all know Hudson Taylor is one of our missionary heroes from China, but he had two plaques on his wall. And one said Ebenezer, which means hitherto hath the Lord helped us. The other one said, Jehovah Jireh, the Lord has provided. And we are just so thankful for the Lord's help over the years. It truly, truly is not of us. It's of Him whenever we do anything for Him. And He has provided good Filipino leadership in the various ministries we've been involved in, as well as faithful supporting churches. And we do thank the Lord for you and for all you've done. I can't remember how many years it's been, but it's been many. And to God be the glory, great things He has done.
Okay, so I'm going to switch over to the other PowerPoint, if you would. Where's my Bible? I need my Bible there, Barb. All right. Oh, we got a new title, or a new part to it. So the Irresistible Church is, had church planting, church growth, and teaching that in the Philippines. We did our own church plant in a town. We didn't even mention that before. That was back in the 80s and so forth. And then in the rural, in the urban, in the city that we had there. So we're going to be speaking about that God will build His church, and the church is an irresistible influence in the community and our testimony to be shining lights to others. The promise is that I tell you that upon this rock, to Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades or hell cannot stand overcome it. So which is the strongest? We believe that God is the strongest. Who's attacking who? We're trying to work and to bring down the gates of hell and the darkness of the powers of Satan and so forth, that nothing can prevail, and who is the loser? Satan, in the end, will be cast into the lake of fire, even though he's active now, but we are pushing against those darkness of hell that we have. So the promise is that he will build his church, his local church, the body of Christ, the universal church of his body around the world. It's the same gospel, the same church that he is building, and he will be victorious. So it is a promise of him building his church. We're saddened to see some churches close or fewer in their churches and in their pews and sanctuaries, but an irresistible church that we can function towards the Lord. And how are God's local churches measuring up to the challenge of a compelling influence in our community? So in the Philippines, they can hide behind gates, usually open, very open here in the United States, but in the city, they do have gates and so forth to protect them, sometimes a dog around the compound and so forth, or even guards at night for some of their churches in the city. So as I've spoken to the church there of the Grace Baptist Church, how are they doing in the Philippines, in their second largest city of the metropolitan area of Cebu, and how are you doing as a church here in SOTUS? You love your church, you love New York, we hope we love New York, even though there's high taxes and so forth, but anyway, the community around us, that we are an irresistible influence on our church. Does God's church have a vision, a passion, direction, accomplishment of goals that we are fulfilling? I'm just hearing about the Dominican Republic, the Ecuador going. My home church is going to Russia this September. So there's outreach, further outreach, but let's be an influence here in the local SOTUS area. So the church, irresistible influence that you and I, as the light and salt of the earth. If we turn to 1 Thessalonians, we will find that there's faith, love, and hope. We had the singing of a living hope in the future of Jesus Christ coming and setting up his kingdom, his millennial reign here on earth from Jerusalem. We have the embassy now in Jerusalem and not Tel Aviv. That's a sign of things happening around the Middle East and so forth. But I've done a study or preaching on this faith, love, and hope that are signs inside the church that it is a growing church. As 1 Thessalonians 1, 2-7, I will read if you follow along. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in Holy Spirit and much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, and having received the word in much affliction, the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples in all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. That's in Greece, that Paul went to the Philippi to go to Europe, come over to Macedonia and help us, is in the book of Acts chapter 16 and so forth. And the communities around Philippi, Thessalonica, Athens, Corinth, and so forth, that they showed their work of faith, their labor of love, and patience in hope. Paul wrote to the again a second letter, but at the beginning he said about their faith and their love, but not their hope until later, because some influence came that Christ already came and they were left behind in 2 Thessalonians. In Ephesians, we won't see it right at the beginning, faith, love, and hope, but it's in the very first chapter. Look at Colossians chapter 1, just turn over there. You'll see the same as evidence of a growing and strengthening church that Paul was writing to the Colossians. Verse 3, we give thanks to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you since we heard of your faith. Faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before the word of truth of the gospel. Faith, love, and hope. That is the essence of a local church. That's what we preach, repeats the gospel. It's good news for salvation, having Christ in us, and the hope of glory, hope to see him again. But a work of faith, in labor of love and patience in hope, as we have many ways of working to show our love in the community. So which is more important, the building or the members of the church? It's the members, because Christ is living in them. That is his church, the body of Christ. What is the living proof that Christ's church is a living and powerful, that they can be in the community as an influence to others? There's the old sign, what is going on in irresistible way of here in SOTUS? What are the people talking about concerning your church? I've heard before you've had carnivals here. You're thinking of having the power soccer camp and so forth, and how you can be involved in them coming out with their children and the popcorn stand and other type things that are here to meet the community. What is BBC doing as an influence and irresistible way that they are drawn to your church here? Just yesterday, we were coming here, and Barb gave a testimony because she really brought down our neighbor to hear her testimony of coming to know Christ. We knew that she had a lot of attributes of having Christ in her and so forth, but her studies as a nurse and so forth, she was many years as an atheist. And then she had children, grandchild, the granddaughter said, let's go to a church. Could you, Grandma, take me to a church? So they looked up about a church, and the granddaughter went in for Sunday school, but the grandmother went and sat in the car. She didn't want to come in the service or the Sunday school. But then she was getting cold in the car, and it's warmer in the church, so she went into the church, and she could see that the people were very friendly, smile, welcoming her, and so forth. And the granddaughter came out also of Sunday school to report, these are friendly people. And so the influence that was on her and the grandmother to think about what Christ's message in the gospel was. There was an influence, the irresistible way. There's an irresistible way of how God works in your testimony, how you were saved. God drawing people to Jesus Christ. The Father grants that we can have and receive that grace that is can be saved. The Father draws people to Christ Jesus, and the Holy Spirit points to Jesus Christ, that there is salvation in Him. And we can have that influence as well to others. Let your light shine before men, that you see your good works and your deeds, and praise the Father in heaven. We are the light of the world. He is the light of the world, but we are lights here in our world. Let the light shine before men. They might see your good deeds or good works and glorify God. Just last week, we were in the church where we got married, and they had a community outreach that I saw that the young people had T-shirts, Thrive, Abide in Him, John 15. And they had written up of the three parts of the thriving with God, a relationship, or thrive up to a relationship with God, and then thrive with the believers, of thriving with in the church, in believers, small groups or whatever, and then thrive outward into the world, in the community, to be able to share the love of Christ to others. So that was kind of neat to think when I was trying to put this together to speak today of God's real church that is real and expressive to others. So we have the living promise. Is the word church is mentioned in Matthew. It's the first time it was mentioned that Christ said the promise that he would build his church. And now the proof, telling the good news of Jesus Christ to others. That's our duty, that others may be saved and come into this church and to the body of Christ. So not only lights, but salt. Salt that gives savor to the meat and to the food that we use, and it's a preservative, but also it gives seasoning to the situation and our community. Salt and light here on this earth. Faith, James, faith without works is dead, and without action that they would show you your faith by your good works that you have. So show without deeds, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. So James was the pastor of Jerusalem at the time, and that he was really faith and works, not works to be saved, but faith to do good works. You have that in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, but don't forget verse 10, that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. So we are out there working in our testimony to others, that we can say, where are you going to church? Or can you come with us? Or the community of having the soccer camp and so forth, what can be involved and community service. Our church in Cebu City, they had divided up where they live, and they go out on Saturday or even Sunday afternoon to do cleanup and so forth. They even, the circle of the rotunda area of the traffic circle of upper Cebu area, they did cleaning and sitting down on the benches with people. What are you doing? Are you from the city? Is this your punishment for something? No, we're from the Grace Baptist Church, doing things for the community. Living proof that you are showing the love of Christ to others in the community, and showing that love and labor of love, that the Christianity is real and alive. So the church needs to reconnect with the community in a way that makes the church both real and reasonable. One of the churches near us, where Rex was, he slept at our house and go there, but also the next door neighbor church, the pastor asked him to speak on Sunday afternoon. But before that and so forth, there was word in the whispering and so forth of that church. It's First Faith Baptist Church. First Faith is the name of that church. And they would say that is just exclusive church, that they're not as welcome to have people come, that they are Baptists, were of other beliefs of the town, and they seem to be saying that they're just exclusive of a church. So they're not reaching out. They're well known to be able to invite or whatever. So in our dialect, chismis is the whispering of what is being done about that church of his exclusive type of church. What kinds of living proof has the community around you experienced that the BBC's Christianity? This is author of Robert Lewis type of book that explaining about this community service, community way of influence in the community. We can change the world with kindness and the love of Christ. They will know we are Christians by our love. That's an old 60s chorus that we used to sing and so forth. That they know that we are Christians by our love. So we have the promise and we have the proof of our Christian faith that we have, and then the pondering of our part in Christ's church. What the world wants to see is whether what we have as Christians and Baptists is better than what they have. They weigh their way and also the way of our belief and faith in Christ. It's just like that neighbor, Linda, that had the granddaughter, that this is a friendly church. They welcome us into the church and their activities. They show love in the community spirit. Not that we stay away or separation, church and state and so forth. We're involved in even the town council or whatever, ways in which to weigh the balances of their way of life and one that we have peace and comfort and grace in our living, and bridge the gap as a way and follow examples of the New Testament type of church in their work of faith, labor of love, and patience and hope of the future. We have a hope in the future as well in Christ. So it's irresistible. They see something different in us and an influence in the community. And what are they saying about BBC here? So our testimonies as Christians and as a church, our personal salvation testimonies, and that's what we have with our students, international students at UB, of giving our testimony. They may be a little bit afraid of opening the Bible, but they're interesting in their testimonies, that some of them have come to Christ or our testimonies as leaders and sponsors there. Loving our neighbors, that's a second commandment. You have the great commandments and you have the great commission in going and making disciples in our community. Our community service, our good deeds, that showing that we are truly Christians. So three parts, three P's here. The promise, Jesus would build his church, and living proof of Christ's church, and pondering of your part or our part in Christ's church as we would think of what you can do. Many of us are quiet. I was sort of a melancholy guy that didn't speak up, but I had to go larger than myself and the courage to go overseas and meet up with people. In the first years we were there, we had a lot of World War II stories, because they still call me G.I. Joe, thinking of the soldiers of World War II, but now some of them have passed on for ones that were in the war days of the 40s and General MacArthur returning. But proof, what impact did GBC, our church in the Cebu, that I was able to speak there about this irresistible influence that we would have, and then for you here, for SOTUS in the community. May you open your hearts that what can we do? Asking Pastor Jay, Pastor Rex, where can I fit in? And we grow in our service to the Lord and his church here in SOTUS. So I love my church and my neighbors and my community, that they may see the light of Jesus Christ. We are salt on this earth to bring seasoning and hope and flavor to our communities. So a finger pointed at Rex here. I couldn't find any pictures. I saw this picture, stuck it in here. Barb saw the other pictures and had that in our report. But sort of pinpointing, what is your part in Christ Church as we grow and serve in the Lord, and church of irresistible influence to our community and neighbors around. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for this Bible Baptist Church of SOTUS. Lord, we thank you that they have had an influence as the staff, the pastors, and those leadership here that would keep the same emphasis and know it's very biblically sound in having a work of faith and a labor of love and a hope, a patience and hope of your return. We have a hope. There's no pessimism. There's no way of being discouraged, but have encouraged by what Christ can do in and through our lives. We pray this for each one. Step out of faith, baby steps to reach out to others and to make conversation and draw them to Christ Jesus as Savior as well. Bless this congregation and the service to come and the Ecuador outreach. We do thank you. In Christ's precious name, amen.